God for His Word is so wonderful. God's Word is life and health. Turn in your Bibles with me, please, to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 2. Let's go ahead and read 1 Timothy, chapter 2. And I brought my actual Bible with me. Praise God. And we want to read from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. We want to talk about prayer, and we want to put, you know, / spiritual warfare. Everybody say, ooh, you know. When you start saying that kind of stuff, people get all weird. But, you know, most of the spiritual warfare that's going on is in your head. And it's you're having a fight with yourself. That is your flesh, the unrenewed part of your body and your mind, and your actual spirit man. And a lot of people, that their natural side of their lives is much more stronger than their spirit. They're led by what they think in life. Everybody else's opinions in that falls under that. They're led by how they feel, and certainly led by the circumstances of life, when they should be following what God says, right? Your spirit, walking by your spirit, is walking by your inward man, being led by your inward man. You look in Galatians 6. There's a fight going on in Galatians 6. And it talks about in there all of the kind of problems that people have. And it mentions the sexual sins first in Galatians chapter 6 that people get entangled with and then just get drifted off. And the devil takes them down the road, because if he hooks you there, then you go a lot of long further, then your appetite for the spiritual things become very dull into other areas, and you can get into down a different road. We were just, someone was just talking to me the other day, a world-renowned minister that we know that, you know, grew up in church and had problems with infidelity, and it's the flesh. The Bible says it's the flesh. So none of us can claim that we're perfect, right? None of us can claim that we're perfect. It's a battle every day, but we can win the battle. The Bible can guarantees that we can win the battle. So there is a battle going on, and let's go here. I exhort first of all that supplications. Everybody say supplications. It's the supplications, and we talked about Wednesday what supplications, what it is. It's a kind of prayer that is heartfelt. It is a feeling, a real strong fervency. It's not a casual prayer. It's an ongoing fervency for some person. So supplications is a strong, urgent, heartfelt prayer. And then notice it also makes a distinction between that kind of prayer and then it says prayers. Prayers. So we know from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, that Paul says that we should pray with all kinds of prayers. Everybody say all kinds of prayers. So there's not just one kind or one type of prayer. There's many kinds of prayer. And most people that I know that, you know, kind of generally speaking, they always ask for prayers, and that they're asking that if you would just, it's more of a request, a prayer request. Did you know that you're responsible for your own prayer life? I want to just say that very clearly so that you understand that I'm speaking from the scripture. You're responsible in your own life for praying for your own direction in life. I'm not responsible for praying direction for your life in a totality, but I'm responsible, and we are all responsible for one another to pray for each other. But in detail, the details of your life, you only know about those things, and you can ask God for those things yourself. We can agree with you, but really, if there's things in your life that you need to ask God for, you're responsible for that yourself. And you're not to go to people regularly, every day, every week, and ask for prayer. You should be grown up. You don't go to someone's house and ask people to dress you up or drive you to work or what. You do that yourself. Those are things that you have to do yourself daily. Now, it says prayers. I want to go to Philippians 4:6 in a moment. First of all, the supplications, prayers, intercessions. Now, you don't intercede for people, a person one time. You do it many times. You pray again, like as far as supplications, you pray for someone, and then you might have to pray for them again. And in another area, you might say that prayer again for someone else that might need your help. If God moves on you to pray for people, for something, because we don't always know what we need. Because if God moves on you to pray for me, spiritually speaking, I might not even know what I'm up against, but God asks you to pray for me, especially in ministry. You know, the devil tries to target ministers and get them off course, because if he can get me off course, gets everybody off course, right? So we need that. So notice it says giving of thanks. We need to continue to give thanks for our leaders and so on, and praise God to continue to praise him for the victory we got in our city and so forth and so on. And it says, be made for all men. This verse of scripture, it talks about here intercessions. I want to just make a distinction here, intercessions and prayer and supplications. Then it says for all men. So notice it says those people here specifically for kings and for all that are in authority. So we need to give intercession and supplicate for those in authority. Could be saved, they could be saved or unsaved. And most of Paul's time, this time here, the kings, those who were in authority, were not born-again people. They were not Christians. So we had to intercede for them and pray for them so that they would, that God would touch them. You know, God will touch a leader even if he's not saved because we pray. God will move their hearts and change their hearts and do whatever help our nation. So it's all tied together here that we're involved. He's telling us to pray for those other men, and specifically for kings and those that are in authority. It goes on, it says that we may lead quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. So it's easier to pray, it's easier to get the gospel outside of our church when our city is in good shape. Economically and so forth, we get people out there, get the message across so that people can get born again. So for kings, all in authority, that we may lead a quiet, peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So this is for that reason, so that people can hear the gospel according to verse 4. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Verse 7, wherefore I'm ordained a minister, a preacher, and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ, I lie not, and teacher of the Gentiles in faith and in verity. I therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting holy hands without wrath and doubting. So here we see God says to lift holy hands. Now we are to lift holy hands and pray. You know, there's so much teaching about that we forget to tell people. When we're in church, we lift holy hands. That's Bible. It tells you right there. And it tells us we do it, you know, in a service to pray. And there's so much value behind it. So notice it says prayers. So it's telling us to pray for those people, all men. So that would include people who basically are not saved. When he's talking about all men, he's basically talking about people who are not born again for intercessions. Because in intercession, remember, there's a couple of things that I should remind you of. First of all, intercessions is primarily made for people that are outside of the church. When I say outside of the church, I mean those people who have not come to Jesus Christ. They're not born again. They don't know anything about being saved. They can be easily led astray by a different spirit, because we need to pray and help them in that fashion. You know, people, we're the salt of the earth, right? We need to pray and believe God for those folks. So evil spirits are targeting these people. Donald Trump, Trudeau, our mayor of our city. There's evil spirits out there that are targeting people like that. And that we, if we live in the natural, where we criticize them from the natural point, not knowing about the spiritual aspect of it. These people are being, you know, you could attack people from where you sit because you don't, you're not in the public eye. You're not making the decisions. You don't have the stress on you every day to make decisions like they do. So be careful not to criticize people in that fashion, because, you know, they're pulled in different directions. I don't know if you've ever been in that situation where your decision affects many people, especially if you're in leadership like that. I mean, you could probably have so many comments about what's going on in our country or our countries right now. But there is a fight going on. Not only just you, but between you and yourself, and also if we put the devil involved, that's a big trouble right there. And then you look at people who are out there that are not born again. They're having a battle and getting pulled different ways. I want us to see something here, but before I go to Ephesians, I want to go to Philippians. And I always see this, the book of Philippians, first of all. As far as I know, there's three separate areas of prayer that we need to understand here. That, you know, we need to pray for ourselves. You have to bring your request to God. Jesus said, when you go to your closet, bring your request to the Father. And Matthew. So he didn't say, when you go to your request, take everybody else's prayer request with you and talk to them about. No, you have to take your request to God. Philippians 4:6 says this. Would you please go to Philippians 4:6 with me? He says, be careful for nothing, or that doesn't mean make a lot of sense to us in King James here. Be careful for nothing. If I told you, be careful for nothing, would you understand that? Be careful for nothing. You tell people that way. You don't talk like that every day. So why do I get criticized when I read from another version? Amen. Hello? Amen. And people get mad at me because, I had people criticize because I don't read from the King James all the time, because there's people in there. You have to bring this down to where they are, right? Now, let's look at this. This is a thought. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Notice this is prayer and supplication tied to your prayer. Notice this. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, in every situation, by prayer, that is your prayer and your supplication, with thanksgiving, and just prayer of thanksgiving as well, connected to that. Let your request, everybody say, your request means my request. It means my request. Your own personal request, here, that word your is talking about your own personal prayer time. Your request be made known to God. So you're responsible to take your prayer request to God. I'm not responsible for your prayer request. I mean, every one of them, and now listen to this, we can pray together. You know, sometimes you need help, right? But not every day, not every week. Amen. But there are times we enjoy fellowship to pray. Let's pray together. Let's can you help me agree on that? So sometimes we do. Sometimes I live with my wife. We don't always I don't always go with her and pray and prayer, you know, agreement with her. And we just sometimes say, can you agree with that? So we agree with that. Ernie and I pray regularly, every week, maybe 2-3 times sometimes a week. And we pray for the city or somebody that needs prayer. That's something we know somebody's in trouble. We pray. So he's my prayer partner. And he sends me like all year, and we pray. Sometimes very problematic situations. And so you are responsible for your own prayer life. And then again, you're also responsible for everybody else in here. You understand that? You understand what I'm saying? So when God leads you and somebody does need you, you go ahead and do that if they do need your help. Now, if I went to your house every day and asked you for milk and said, I need extra food here, I mean, you'll get tired of me sooner or later. Borrow your car again today. I know I borrowed it all month. No, you say, get your one car. Right? I mean, as much as you love pastor, I'm at your house eating your chips, watching your TV or satellite. No, you say, you better go home. Right? So, in spiritual matters, we have to think that way as well, that there's a time that you have to grow up and do your own spiritual standing up and so forth, so on. We're trying to teach people, like in our city, we see different activities going on where it's always teaching about dependency on one or two people about praying for everything and keeping the church a baby church. Everybody needs to get this. And we need all mature. Now, if I had a healing line every Sunday morning, the place might, be packed right out. We're going to pray for everybody's prayer. I mean, we're going to sing songs all night and maybe do some, maybe teach one or two scriptures. Now, I want you to see there that, I want you to see this, that supplications or prayer and supplication is tied to your own prayer. You're a believer. So you're going to make heartfelt prayer and pleading to God for your needs. If you're serious. And then notice over here that, go to Ephesians. I said, your prayer requests, your own praying should be, you should be independent to a certain degree. Now, we're not all totally independent in terms of, getting away from being caring for one another. But there is a point where you have to stand on your own for certain things. Okay, so go to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Now, I'm totally away from my notes. Did you notice that? Okay. And I knew what was going to happen. So anyway, Ephesians 6. Let's go read from verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil are just tricks and schemes. The word wiles actually means hidden, schemes that he has. So he says you have to put your whole armor on so that if he's got a scheme that you're protected. Okay? So you have to understand all these armors are tied to your understanding about your position and your place with God. That's what the armor is. The armor is your understanding, your teaching, your instruction about what you know, who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, and your ability so that when the enemy comes, you can say, listen, no, I'm righteous right now. You can't come and touch me. I have the righteousness of God. I have a right to disqualify you from entering my house. I command you, get your hands off my home. Get out of my property. Don't touch my body. Stop pestering my mind. Take authority over your mind. It's your mind. God gave you your mind. And don't allow the devil to do that, attack you there. So, stand against the wiles of the devil. Notice this. This is the word we got this morning. The Lord gave it to me. I'm standing there. All of a sudden, suddenly, bang, the Lord gave me this word for this church. I want to know how many people got a witness beside Pastor Ken that God was talking. Okay? So you just sense that this is God, man. I didn't know. I only had one word, Pastor Kent. I didn't know I didn't know what I was going to say. What am I going to say about that? I don't know. Have no teaching on it right now. And the Lord just brought that out. And as long as I stood in it, as long as the word kept coming out without any stoppage. That's the word of the Lord. Notice this. He said this. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Everybody say principalities. Against powers. Say powers. So there's a distinction between principalities and powers. Principalities are over certain regions, and there's certain powers that they're over that will cause a certain kind of trouble in certain areas. I want to say something here that'll help you. I got about four or five messages going in one direction here for a second, but I want to say, like, we're in a warfare. Yeah. There are certain spirits that are having activity in our city. Some people teach that you can get a prayer group and cast this whole thing down over our city. I remember good old George Bellows and some people, they have this sign in their car that says, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is not Lord in our city. He is not Lord in our city. Jesus, if he is Lord, then he's doing a bad job of being Lord over the city. Because there's drug activity going on, people are dying, people are sick, and all kinds of stuff going on, economic conditions. Jesus is not Lord over a city. Now, he might be Lord in your life. He's Lord in my life. He's not Lord over every person that's not saved. That's why you and I are here, so that they maybe one day have Jesus Lord in their life. Because we are the salt of the world, of this earth. And so, and also there's another extreme where some people don't have this revelation that it's our responsibility to pray for this city. It's our responsibility to pray for what goes on in our nation. And so we need to pray for our city and our nation. I'm not going to ask for hands up, but I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you have spent time praying for your mayor? I didn't ask for hands yet. I said, wait a second. Okay, so hang on. How many of us are spending time to pray for the prime minister? Like, how many of us are continuing to pray for that area? I told you, don't put your hand up yet. I'm just teasing you because he's my friend. Him and I have a working relationship together. He tells me I'm a beautiful human being. He reminds me. He sends me letters. Thank you very much. And he was one of my students, believe it or not, at the college. Okay. You're still learning. But anyway, so here we have, here. Notice this over here. Okay, this letter, this Ephesian letter, is written to the church at Ephesus and is told to us today. This is a letter to us. Notice it says here, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Now he says, I want you to understand to take this armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. When is the evil day? Evil day is actually now everywhere, but also personally for you, the evil day is when you're attacked. And the reason why people get spiritually attacked, or they more attacked than ever, is that they haven't put their armor on. And they're not fighting and standing and withstanding the enemy. What you stand against, the Holy Spirit is going to stand against. He's your helper. And if you don't stand against it, he can't stand against it. If you can't stand against the enemy, the Holy Spirit is not going to do it by himself. He's your helper. God has given us, you see, God has no authority to move in your life or another person's life unless they allow you to pray for them. In some sense, you know, I mean, talking about, we can intercede in other ways, but normally speaking, God only has access to this world through us. And he has access in your life through your prayer life. Yeah. I don't know if you heard this teaching before, but I need to teach you this so that you understand. Because it's important for us to understand about spiritual warfare and praying and your ability and where you stand. I'm not responsible for praying everything off everyone in this world. When God tells me, just sometimes the Lord doesn't, sometimes will say no to you, don't go there, don't pray for that person. And some people don't understand that. I mean, it's important that we understand how God will lead you. I mean, even my own family, I've had that happen to my own family where the Lord said, don't pray for them, they're going to die. Well, you don't like to hear that. And then sometimes God knows maybe it's better for them to come home, because if they go anywhere farther for 10 more years, they're not going to make it home to him. They'll walk away. That's what the enemy wants, ultimately, for people to just disregard their faith in Jesus and turn away. Now, he says there, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, having your breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith. Above all these things, take the shield of faith. That means walk in faith. If you know you're righteous, if you use the truth of God's word to hold your life up together, your armor together, if you use that, if you use the truth all the time, walk in truth and be honest with yourself, be honest with people, walk in truth. That's what he's talking about. And understand your righteousness. You're a righteous person. The Bible says God has given you the gift of righteousness. No, it's not how good you are. God gave you the gift of righteousness. You'll never be any more righteous now than you'll be 1,000 years from now, from the day you were born again. You're righteous right now. You're righteous right now because Jesus made you. Read Philippians, read Galatians. Understand that God has made you righteous right now. It has nothing to do with how good you are right now. It's your position in Jesus. And a lot of people are not taking authority in their lives because they don't know their rights. You know, Romans 5 and 17 says that we've been given a gift of righteousness, but also we rule or dominate and reign in our personal own lives by the gift of righteousness. Our righteousness is a force against the enemy. You, who you are, you're Jesus in you, the hope of glory. We can take authority. The enemy sees Jesus when you're using his name. So above all this, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. By faith, you can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. When you know that you're righteous, when you know you're walking in truth, you know, you walk in truth, not only that you read the Bible, you read the truth, but also you walk truthfully in life. The enemy has access to you only when you go in his dark way. When a Christian veers off from the perfect will of God into the permissive will of God, does what he wants, then the enemy can attack you, and there's nothing God can do for you. You know, it's not automatic. You have to live right. When God says to you, listen, talks to you about certain things, then you have to live right. And quit blaming God for your disobedience when you get into trouble. And that's why people blame God. Why did God let that happen? No, why did you get out of the will of God? Why don't you go where God told you to go and stay there and let God teach you things? I know. This is a mature teaching. Okay, so verse 12, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And that's how we get rid of the enemy, is tell them what the word of God says. You can't attack my body. God says by his stripes I'm healed. You know, you're running out of finances, resources. No, God shall supply all my needs. Even when you don't have a dime in your pocket, Brother Higgins said, when I didn't have a dime, two nickels to rub together, I said, thank God he supplies all my needs. Amen? When I'm weak, I say, thank God I'm strong. I'm agreeing with the word. Somebody says, no, you're lying. No, I'm agreeing with the word of God says. I'm fighting my battle. So notice this. So we read Ephesians 6:18 over here. It says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities. We're wrestling against. This is our battle against these things going on, or activity going on in our lives. I want you to notice over here, God wants us to know something, where you are, where you stand when it comes to intercession and prayer. When you're praying, I like what Brother Dave says sometimes. He says, you know, when you're praying, remember you're praying from a position of, what did you use the term? From victory. Like, or you know, you're sitting, you're sitting at the right hand of the Father with Jesus right now. That's our position. Ephesians, the Bible says we're sitting with Jesus in heavenly places. Yeah. Not under the principalities and powers. Now, watch this. Look, here's what Paul the Apostle told the church everywhere to right now. He wants us to learn, understand something about these principalities and powers. That all these principalities and powers that Paul is talking about in Ephesians 2:6-12, these powers have been defeated by Jesus. I said, these powers have been defeated by Jesus. I said, these powers have been defeated by Jesus. And you are sitting with Jesus, the victory man, at the right hand of the Father. They can't touch you unless you allow them. Okay, watch this. This is what Jesus wants us to know. This is what God wants us to know. That these are defeated, you know, they're rebel spirits trying to get at you, but they can't because you're covered under the blood. And you have a right to go and get people, your family you love, that's still in Egypt, so to speak. And you have to get them out of there by standing for them. And those people that are Christians that have been born again for more than 3, 4, 5 years, they need to start learning how to stand on their own. And standing with us so that we can pray for those people who actually really need it, that they can't help themselves. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus. So he's writing to Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, he's talking to us, the faithful in Christ Jesus. He's calling you faithful in Christ Jesus. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 3, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're blessed with every spiritual force in heavenly places. We're blessed with him, with Jesus Christ, right now. Notice this. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. This is who what Jesus has done. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to his good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, wherein you have been accepted in the beloved, in whom you have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to his divine riches. Go over to chapter 16, verse 16. Verse 16. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. He didn't say prayer. He said prayers more than one time. So you keep praying this prayer for people in your life so that they begin to see something here. What do they want them to see? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Some version says in the knowledge of who you are in Christ. God wants us to know who we are in Christ. What belongs to us since we are in Christ? What did Jesus give us? What did God give us? What kind of position do we have now that we're born again? When you got born again, there was something more than just getting saved when you came to Jesus. You got more than just getting your sins forgiven. First of all, you got a new spirit. You've been given a righteous spirit. You've been given the righteousness. You've been given the faith of God in you. The faith of God lives in you. That faith of God needs to get out and to be put out so that we can start doing things and believe in God together. All of us together start. I think probably there's people here haven't used their faith the way they should. It takes time to do some stuff. It takes time to read. When was the last time you read a book on prayer or faith or healing? When was the last time you started feeding yourself on these things? there's lots of stuff that we can go to on Facebook or whatever. There are great teachers on there, men of God that we know. Keith Moore teaches live every was it Friday night? Keith Moore teaches on television live. We can just put him on, watch him over here if we want. I watch him on my tablet or whatever. Watch him wherever. I take Keith Moore with me every time I go to the gym. He's one of my favorite teachers at Bible school. I just love Pastor Keith. He doesn't call himself pastor. He calls him Brother Moore. He said, we don't have titles in our church. He said, don't get mad at me. But sometimes you got to have titles in some churches because people don't respect Joe or Bill. You have to make a distinction. You have to be led by the Spirit. Okay? It's for your good that you call me pastor. Now, I don't care if you call me pastor, but at least respect the word of God, respect the position. That's all I want, is that you respect God. You can call me Joe if you want to, but just respect God, respect the position. Like when I'm preaching here, I'm preaching to my wife, I'm not her husband right now. I'm her pastor preaching to her. Like, as you know, Pastor Kidd's my chum off, you know, but when he's here, I'm his pastor. And if I spank him, he forgets about it after because he needs it sometime, right? Who's going to do it? Cindy can't do it. She's small. Your mom's going to see that. Verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding, that's your spirit, man, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. Why would God want your spirit man to be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling? In other words, what did God call you? What was Jesus called for? What's the purpose of Jesus coming? What's the purpose of you being in him? Do you know your calling? When you know you're called to do something, there's a peace in your heart. And you don't care, like in a sense, you don't care about everybody else, what they're doing, but you know what God wants you to do. One time in my life, I used to be concerned about what everybody else is doing, what every other church is doing in the city. What they're doing, I want to do. No, I just have to know what God told me to do. Amen. And just do what I'm, because I remember when I was following God, God says, no, did I tell you to do that? The Lord had to come and tell me that. Did I tell you to do that? Yeah. Then you be quiet, dry up your tears, smile, and act like you're enjoying it. Really? And just enjoy like you're enjoying it, because God called. If God called you to this church, you're called to this church. He didn't call you to go sit at Summit. He didn't call you to go sit at PAOC over here, Elam, or whatever it is. He called you here. You're going to have to fess up and talk to God one day and say, well, I didn't want to go there. They didn't have cute boys there. No. If God called you here, he called you here. Maybe he wants to marry somebody that's average. Well, he'll bring somebody here for you, right? My wife wouldn't go to the Finn church because you don't like Finn boys. She said, oh, Ojibwe boys is the way to go. Okay. That you may know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance. In other words, he's talking about in there, what belongs to your inheritance in Christ. You have to know what belongs to you. That's what God wants us to know. What's your calling? What's your purpose in life? What belongs to you? Alongside of that calling, God will give you equipment. God will give you whatever you need to go along, whatever. Yeah. And this is what this prayer is all about. And then he says, I'll get to my point in a moment. The exceeding greatness of his power for us, whatever. He wants us to know, wants us to experience the power of God in our lives. What's available when we believe, according to the working of his mighty power. He's telling us that kind of same power which he wrought in Christ. He wants us to know that same power which Jesus was raised from the dead. He wants us to know and experience that kind of power in our life, in our churches. When he set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Verse 21. Notice this. He raised Jesus up, verse 20, from the dead. And he set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. That's where Jesus is. Notice this. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. He put all things under his feet. Everybody said he put all things under his feet. He's referring to all those principalities and powers. When Jesus was raised from the dead, the enemy thought he had him, but he raised Jesus from the dead and set him at his own right hand. When Jesus was raised from the dead, you and I in Christ, when we get born again, that's where we are. And all those principalities and powers are under your feet. That's what it says. You go to other scripture verses, you'll see the same thing in Colossians. We were buried with him in baptism. Then when he talked about baptism, he's not talking about baptizing in water in that verse of scripture. Colossians chapter, I believe it's chapter 2, verse 14, 15. Buried with him in baptism. That baptism he's talking about is when the Holy Spirit took your spirit and put you into, dunked you into the body, spiritual body of Christ, and that's where he left you. And when Jesus was raised from the dead, you and I were raised from the dead. Right now. So when it comes to intercession, you're not trying to fight through devils. You're above them. You're sitting with Jesus. You don't have to fight devils. He's already defeated them. They have no authority in your life. That's why you don't have to be afraid of the devil. Why would you be afraid of the devil? The Bible says that Jesus paralyzed the devil. He can't touch you. As far as, you know, staying in Christ and being in Christ, you know, the Bible says that Jesus put him to naught. In other words, he reduced him to zero as far as you're concerned in the spiritual walk. The devil cannot harm you unless you allow him by your ignorance, refusing to understand these things that I'm teaching you now. As Paul taught, and that's what Jesus taught. If the devil attacks your life, it's because you have allowed ignorance to rule in your life. You've allowed fear to enter your life. And you've allowed your weakness or sin to take you down a road where the enemy has access to you out of the will of God. And the enemy has no access to you only when you get out of the will of God into the permissive will of God. I remember Brother Hagin talking about that when he was actually preaching. And he had a heart attack. Preaching. This is the man of God. And he when he was in the hospital, the Lord said to him, I told you, 19, lay your hands on your body. He said, the reason why you had a heart attack is because the devil had access to you. You weren't obeying what I told you to do. Now, he wasn't going boozing and taking drugs and shooting up and killing people and committing adultery. No, he was just out of the will of God in the area of his ministry where God told him, you need to go over here and do this when he wanted to go over here and do that. That's disobedience. Knowing God's will for your life and getting and saying no. No, you're not drinking out there. You're just not doing what God told you to do. That's why you have oppression, a lot of you. That's why you have fear in your life, because you're not where you're supposed to be with God. And anybody else's prayer in your life is not going to help you until you get right with God. I better go sit down. I'm serious. I'm really serious about this, folks. Yes, there's trouble in the world. Yes, you're going to have trouble. Yes, you're going to get attacked. But that doesn't mean that you're going to quit. You're going to fight back. Now, listen to this. It says in the same chapter, this book, Ephesians, says that, it says, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. How could you resist the devil if you have no power? So we need to protect ourselves and stand against the evil power. So you got to get this done. If you're going to be an intercessor, if you're going to be praying for people, let's take it home first. Let's take care of ourselves first and learn to protect ourselves first, and let us go out there and do what we're supposed to do when we're assured of our own salvation, assured of our own protection, assured of our own family, that he has no authority to attack our family. Now, if your family goes out there and does other things, yes, they'll be attacked, but they still have you praying for their protection. Am I doing this for nothing? Okay. Are you guys listening when I'm saying this? Because I feel, you know, I have to pray. The Lord says to me, I'm trying to get a message. I'm trying to study these notes for 2 days. I couldn't get anything. I said, Lord, okay, so you're going to do something. No, the Lord said to me, drop that word in me this morning, and that's what the Lord said to me. Drop everything I told you. And the reason why I didn't lead you to that, the reason why you're not getting anything is because you're going in the wrong direction. I want you to teach this. I want you to tell people where they're at so that they can start praying. Let's not pretend we're over here when we're over here. Because sometimes we try, oh, Pastor, just teach us something. No, I think we need to take care of our own lives first before we start doing some other things. Because people, there's a lot of people away from church. It's not because of the cold weather. That's a good excuse, though. They say in the summertime, it's the hot weather. What are these lukewarm Christians? I mean, people go places where it's easy. You can go to church where somewhere you sit down, it's easy. Listen to a few songs, a couple of hymns and hers, and then, praise the Lord and go home. And no one's going to look at you in the eye and say, be responsible for your life. I'm not afraid of anybody. I'm not afraid. If Pastor Ken goes, he can be replaced. If Pastor Steve goes, he can be replaced. You can be replaced. I can be replaced. The Lord told me, don't be afraid of any one of your pastors ever. Because you have to be able to tell, to correct them when you need to correct them. Amen. I've called you. And I've asked you to stand as a man of God. Don't be afraid if Kendra leaves or anybody else leaves. The Lord said to me, no, you're a man of God. Or if she leaves. God called me. And it's up to everybody else to figure it out if God called them or not. I don't care if you don't like me. If God called you here, he called you here. Because I understand that, because when I went to Rhema, I didn't like Kenneth Hagin. I didn't really like Lynette. It has nothing to do with where God called me. But I got to learn something about myself where I stayed, where I didn't like. Brother Hagin said this to us, and you can have agreement with this. He said, God called me sometimes to places and do things where I didn't like to do it. And I learned more there and grew spiritually there where I didn't like it at first. That I got to learn, I learned about myself. So we need to understand these things. So taking care of our own lives so that we can go forward in the things of God. So Ephesians tells us that Jesus was raised from the dead. Let's go to chapter 2. Where it says here, no, verse 2, and you had a quickened who were dead in your trespasses and sins. Before you were standing away doing all those things, but Jesus came to you and he saved you before you did it. In his mind, Jesus said, I'm coming to get you. When you were not even living for him. And he says, we're in time past, you walked according to the course of this world. Notice this, according to the prince and power of the air. That's the spirit that's talking about Ephesians 6 and 12. Those are the spirits that we're having to fight with. After you leave under that thing, they're still going to try to come back and beckon you, come in and try to entice you back where you used to be before. And he's going to entice you. How is he going to do that? He's going to do it through your flesh. He's going to do it through your unrenewed mind. And ignorance to take you back to where you're supposed to go. He says in there, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Among also, we had our conversation. The word conversation means matter of lifestyle. In time past, the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the lust desires in the flesh of the mind. And we're by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, where his great love, where he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, had he quickened us together with Christ. In other words, and we read that scripture, when the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, I believe it's in Romans 6, where the Holy Spirit went down and quickened Jesus, made him alive. How many people know that when Jesus died on the cross, he not only died physically, but he had to die spiritually first? Jesus on the cross, when he says, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? Jesus died spiritually. He was separated from his Father. He had to give himself up spiritually. He had to die. He took on our sins. Isaiah says he became sin for us on the cross. That's why 2 Corinthians 5:21 says he became sin for us on the cross. He took our sins. He took our nature on the cross. And then he went down with that. But 3 days later, the Bible says the Holy Spirit went and got him, quickened his spirit, and he became alive. As far as God's concerned, when that happened, when you accepted Jesus, you went down with him. That's why the Bible says, my old man was crucified with Christ. You were crucified with Christ. Jesus bought your body. He also bought your mind, the scripture says in Corinthians. He's bought your whole self. The devil has no authority to attack your mind, your emotions, your body, or anything else. Amen. You have the right to take authority in your life. Now, you might not feel, I don't know how many of you have been sick lately. I certainly got attacked quite a bit with a bug, whatever it is. Been quiet in here. But I know it's not pleasant. Okay, verse 6. Verse 5 says, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Had quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved, and had raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. We're sitting in heavenly places in Christ. In chapter 6, verse 18, those spiritual powers that are there, you have defeated them. In Christ. You are a winner over all these spiritual powers right now that are trying to get at you. Go to Colossians chapter 2 for a second here. Now I realize this is a little bit longer. This is something I think we need to learn. Chapter 2, very quickly, we'll end up with this here. Chapter 2. Verse 10. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. This is talking about Jesus. You're complete in Jesus Christ. Amen. In whom you're circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. In other words, when Jesus came, he cut off that area of your life, spiritually speaking. Now, you got the same body. One day, the Bible promises us we'll all have a certain new body one day. If you don't like it now, you're going to really love it later. Buried with him in baptism. That baptism is talking about when you're in Christ. You know, Jesus took your sin into his, and he gave you his righteousness. See, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you were risen with him through faith of the operation of God, who had raised him from the dead. He's telling us there, whatever happened to Jesus happened to you and me. If he went to hell, you went to hell. You went there with him, and then you were raised up with him. That's why you never have to be afraid of ever going to hell, because you went there with him when you made Jesus Christ your Lord. Victory is his. And his victory is awarded to you and me. We have the victory. See, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, had he quickened. Not he's going to quicken. He already has quickened you with him. And having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting or ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Everything that you'd ever done in life or could do has been nailed to the cross with Jesus. Verse 15, where we close. And having spoiled principalities and powers, I want you as an assignment to go to verse 15 and go to other versions of the Bible where it literally spells out what that word means. Because it'll tell you that Jesus spoiled principalities and powers. Verse 15 of the Amplified Bible says, God disarmed principalities and powers that were arrayed against us, and made a display, a public example of them triumphing over them in it. He's talking about in those days that they used to take the enemy, that they're the king, whatever, and they'll hang him up, and pray them through the city, showing everybody we have victory over that nation, over there, that king. He's on right there. They paraded him around. He gave an example that you and I have the victory right now. I want you to know when you pray, you're praying at an advantage point, not a disadvantage point. You're not trying to break, when we used to say this back in the old days, we're bombarded down the gates of heaven. No, he said locking no doors. You're already in it. How many of you have heard that? Oh, we're gonna have intercession today at church at 11 o'clock. Y'all be there because we're going to bombard the gates of heaven. We're going to break down heaven's gates and go to Jesus and shake him around, slap him around, and tell him to give us what we want. No, he's already done that for us. Jesus is our Lord. He wants to bless us. Let's go ahead and stand up. By the way, I think we're going to be teaching this week. Watch my Facebook because we're going to be teaching this for 3 days. Every night. Is it this next week? Yeah, next week. So we're going to be teaching on prayer. We're going to be praying and learning how to pray. So watch out in your thing. So remember leadership tonight. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, hallelujah. Everybody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, man, I thank you, God. Lord, you're so wonderful. Thank you that you've given us victory. Woo! I sense joy. I sense the joy of the Lord. He's your strength, that you have the victory right now. I want you to know the Bible says in 1 John 5:4 that we have world overcoming power. That when we pray, things happen. Thank you, Jesus, for the prayer of faith, that we have the ability to pray for our families. We got the ability to pray for every one of our needs, spiritual and natural, that you supply every one of our needs, that we have power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing, Jesus said, will hurt you. Nothing will hurt me or you. We have authority to stop them from attacking. And we stand in faith, not only as individuals in this church, but that we stand in faith together. We stand against our brother and sister. We stand with them in the name of Jesus against the powers that have been attacking them in the name of Jesus. We stand against those powers that's attacking families and husbands and wives and children in the name of Jesus. We continue to make supplication and prayer, heartfelt prayer, to really believe with them that they are free. They're free to reign. They're free to roam and free to eat from whatever you said to eat from in the word of faith. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness and mercy. I see myself as a victory person. I see myself what I prayed for. Begin to see yourself with what you're believing God for. Begin to see yourself with the victory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can you pray in the Holy Ghost for 30 seconds? Go ahead, pray in the Holy Ghost. Everybody pray in the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. The will of God be done. Pray in the Holy Ghost. The will of God be done. In Jesus' name, holy kishanda. Imbria, ya shei, amokoshi, alma, santa. Akia, no sote, enemy, santa, karama, soto. Brimi, sonda, koshi, lima, samba, kala, deshi. Thank you, Lord. Makere, shite, elime, kiso. Imbre, kishana, alma, kasha, tikelime. He that speaketh unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries, divine, secret, and truth. Soko nilimishite ki alamas tikara. Thank you, Lord, for the perfect will of God. Perfect will of God. Oh, shikilime sandaka nyanadia sutukoro boshite. We cover everyone with the blood of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus over our families, over our businesses, over our workplaces, over our travels. In the name of Jesus, thank you for the angels of God. Thank you for every need to be met. spirit, soul, and body. Thank you for mental energy, mental health energy, miracles and signs and wonders. Everybody say, thank you, Lord, that I am a victor. I'm not a victim of the enemy's ploys. I cover myself with the blood of Jesus. I'm standing in faith. Thank you for meeting every one of my needs. Thank you that I am who you say I am. I am in Christ, and I'm strengthened by Him. Every day, every need is met. Enemy, I come against you. You shall not attack my family, my business, my workplace, my church, in the name of Jesus. Enemy, I'm praying for our mayor and our leadership of our city. And I'm praying for Prime Minister Trudeau. In the name of Jesus, I'm calling the will and the purpose of God for our nation. You will stir him to do the right thing in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. If you're here right now, I just want to make sure that everyone here is saved. If you're saved, born again, and you know it, let me see your hand. If you're saved and you know it, amen. If you're not saved and you don't know it, you can be saved now. Those of you that are watching online, I want to tell you right now, you can be saved right there. Jesus can come in your home right now, wherever you are. If you're in a hotel room, in a hospital, if you're in jail, or if you're in a residence somewhere, Jesus can come there right now like he did for me in my apartment in 1981. I said, Jesus, come in my life. I'm a sinner. I need you. Come, save me. And he'll come in there right now. If you just say, come in, Lord Jesus, help me. Forgive my sins. I'm a sinner. I need you. Save me. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Thank you for my salvation. I will serve you and walk with you. Thank you for healing my body, clearing up my mind, freeing me from addictions, freeing me from the pains of my life. My scars are healed. My wounds are healed. Thank you, Father, for healing me right now. I'm just sensing the anointing right now in the name of Jesus. You go ahead and take it right now. Wherever you are, be loose, be free, my friend. My brother, I love you. I believe God with you. In the name of Jesus, right now, be free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If that's you, you can contact me on Facebook. You can get me on Messenger. I want to talk with you. I'll minister to you. I'm going to give you some materials. Or just write to our church. Write to us right here. We want to see you at church. We want to see who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, everybody. Have a great day. We'll see you tonight, some of you. Amen. Hallelujah.